Blog Talk Radio.
General Quarters, Security Condition 3.
HQ, Security 3, sir. General Quarters 3, intruder alert. GQ 3, intruder alert.
Oh, I'm going to make everyone think intruder alert tonight. Hi, good evening. Welcome once again to Madame Perry Salon, the podcast, with more celebrities than the inauguration, some say. And I just want to say thank you, first of all. Oh, yes, I am your host and cruise director, Madame Perry. You can call me Jennifer Perry. And, or in England, I'm J-Mod. But I just want to say, first of all, thank you so much to everyone, because you've been downloading and sharing with friends, obviously, and just giving me such good numbers that I can continue to get excellent guests to bring to you for your entertainment, for you to learn new things, learn about new music, books, all kinds of stuff. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we had Hal Herzog, who's a anthrozoologist, talking about his book, Some We Love, Some We Hate, Some We Eat, about animals and our unusual relationship to different types of animals, and why or why not we love to eat some, hate some, and love some. And who knew that an anthrozoologist could be so funny? But Hal Herzog was an absolute riot. Also, we had Doug Stenson last week talking about his job when he was just 17 years old, ended up as an intern in the Nixon administration during Watergate. And that is one of the funniest books I have read. So we can't wait to have him back. In fact, that's been an extremely popular show. But you know what? I promised you something else super fabulous tonight, and it is the man himself. He's a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. You know him with all your favorite bands, and you know him as him, Ricky Bird. You know, whether you love him with Mott the Hoople, Joan Jett, whomever. The thing is, Ricky Bird is a real deal, and he's got some great new stuff to tell you about, and I believe he's stepping into Madame Perry's salon right now. Mr. Ricky Bird, come on, Ed.
I am in. Thanks for the welcome. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Good. It's getting a little chilly here. Put the tree up today. Christmas. It's getting close to Christmas, I guess.
I see. You have a big tree. You have a.
What's a big
live
tree?
One? Yeah.
No, not a live one, man. I can't deal with all that stuff. No, there's a tree you take apart. It's a big one, but you know, you take it apart and you just put it up there and you put the ornaments on. It's ready to go. I like ready to go.
I mean,
if I lived in the country or something like that, and you could just go out back and chop yourself a tree, then I would do it that way, I guess.
Not so easy to do in New York, is it?
Well, I mean, a lot of people do it, but I remember we used to have a tree all the time like that, and then getting rid of it is crazy. You know, you got to drag it downstairs, you leave it in front of the house and in front of the apartment building, and wait for the garbage men to come get it. And there's like pine, there's like needles all over the floor everywhere. And they can be dangerous too.
Yeah, and see, people don't think that rock and roll superstars deal with this kind of problem like the rest of us, right?
Well, somebody's got to put the stuff up. Somebody's got to put the stuff up. You know.
Yeah. That's true.
It's,
so true.
It just seems like it just seems like it came so fast this year. I feel like I just put everything away.
I was thinking the same thing, although now, of course, my mother, she loves her so much, she's decided just to start putting it in the corner and put a little, you know, trifold screen around it, and then it's ready for the next year. But
I think we should leave stuff. I think we should leave the Christmas stuff up year-round.
Okay.
It's a,
yeah,
it's a time saver. It makes the neighborhood look pretty all the time. You know, just leave it up. What's the point of taking it down?
You know, you're right, because there seems to be some sort of a sadness afterwards when everything is like, and then the little tinsel on the street that gets doesn't get picked up, and the dead tree. You know, how depressing going from such joy to such blah. I think you got something, Ricky. I think you really got something.
Then you got nothing. There's nothing until Easter. I mean, there's like this whole spot of, you know, reality where there's nothing really to look, kind of look forward to celebration-wise.
No.
Until Easter comes.
Well, I mean, there's, you know,
it's like every year when baseball season's over, I go into mild depression because I have to wait till April.
Oh no!
Because that's the only sport I like. You know, it's the same thing. I say we play all year round.
Do you ever play baseball? I mean, just get out with your friends and get to play. Or do you have a place where you can do that?
Not anymore. No. The last time I played. I grew up in the Bronx, so I grew up right by Yankee Stadium. You could actually see into the stadium from our kitchen window. And I was a ball player when I was a kid, like we all were in like the Bronx and all the boroughs in New York. And about when I turned like 40-ish, I think, I got re-into playing again. I mean, I played. I remember when I was out with Joan, we played. Sometimes you would have a day off and you would play. I remember we were on tour with Aerosmith and we were on a whole tour with them. I think it was the Pump. It was the Pump tour, if I'm not mistaken. And I remember we were in one town for a couple of days and Steven like rented a ball field and a bowling alley. And we all hung out and we played ball. I remember Jones sliding into me like cleats first. I was playing second base. Yeah, but I mean, I always played. So I started playing again when I was around 40, and I tore my shoulder. So I had surgery on my shoulder playing. I mean, I would play in leagues here in Manhattan when I was off the road. And then the last time I played, which must have been, I'm going to say 2005 maybe, I broke my hand. And then that was it. I just put my glove in the closet with the ball wrapped in it, and I said, okay, I'm just going to watch from now on.
Oh, no. Oh, that's
because I play hard. You know, I was playing hard, you know, like.
Yeah.
What's that?
Well,
yeah,
that,
yeah.
That's what
if you're
going to
play,
you
got to play like a little kid, right?
Well, I was going to say, when Joan slid into you in cleats first, I mean, hope she didn't get your hand, you know, in any way. I mean, if you were trying
to scoop
up a ball.
We were playing with Aerosmith. We were having like a, you know, I think we split the bands up and we kind of had a fun game. I think I got pictures of it someplace. But she played for real,
okay,
and so did I.
Just,
you know?
It wasn't just the Black Hearts versus Aerosmith. It was you guys.
No. I think
she
was on the other side. No, we split everything up. We chose upside, you know, like in school. You know, two people, you got the two managers and they each pick somebody.
Yeah.
It was like playing volleyball when you were in school. Not volleyball, I mean dodgeball.
Kickball or dodgeball?
Yeah, dodgeball.
That might have been safer.
Yeah, and by the way, I didn't play with Mata Hoople. I played with Ian Hunter. Mata Hoople was when I was a little kid.
Ian Hunter.
When I was like a teenager. I toured with Ian, when I left the Blackhearts in 91, or somewhere end of 91. I immediately went into a record with Roger Daltrey and like a radio and TV tour around America. And we did half the record here, and then we did half at Abbey Road Studios in London. And then I got a call from Ian Hunter, and I went out with him for a while. So that was post Mata Hoople. I was only 16 when Mata Hoople was out. But they were one of my favorite bands.
Okay. Whoops on. Sorry about that. But hey, you've got so much going on.
Well, you just added like 20 years on me, that's all.
Hey, and I didn't.
You know, Ian Hunter is out there touring right now, and Ian is 78 years old, and he's like the best rocker going. I mean, he's out there. He writes great songs. Every one of his records are great. He's constantly on tour. See, there's no retirement in rock and roll.
But you know, he was I saw pictures of him when he was touring 2 years ago in Atlanta. He looks good. He still dresses sharp too.
He still looks good, and you know, he never really had any problems with substance. So you know, that'll make you look better longer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, and so I'm sorry about putting 20 years on you. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to temporarily blame that on our mutual friend Kaz Sultan, and say that Kaz told me that. But until he catches up with me again, and then I'll have to fess up.
Yeah, Kaz. No, he knows I play with Mott. I mean, I played with Ian, not Mott.
Ian. I know. What is it about Cass? He seems so energetic. He had my husband and I backstage after the Todd White Night Show back in May of this year, and everybody else, you know, like Greg Hawks, Perry Prince, everybody else looks exhausted, and Cass is like, yeah, hey, how you doing? Come on in. Yeah, what's going on? I thought, what is this guy? What does he take, like extra vitamins or something? I don't know. He's got a lot of energy.
He's just bubbly. We get along great.
Yeah.
We had a blast when we were on the road with Joan. When we were in, that was like the late 80s Hate Myself for Loving You era of the Blackhearts. So it was Joan, me, Tommy Price, and Kaz. So me and Kaz, we've been friends for years and years.
Yeah, that's what he said. And he said that was a fun tour, fun people. I guess that makes a big difference. And speaking of good people, you know, here's my little segue, you have got such a smoking hot new CD, the CD Clean Getaway, and it's like every song on it. You know, the first time I listened to it all the way through, I think I told you, and I told friends too, said, I had things to do. I was out running errands, go to the post office, and I made myself miss. I had to reschedule things because I thought, I don't want to get out of the car. And I know I've got the CD, so I can listen to it when I get back in. But, you know, you got to just keep on. And there's only been a couple of other people that made me stay in a car and listen. And one was the blues singer Ernestine Anderson, the first time I ever heard her. I just couldn't get out of the car until I knew who that was. And the other was, do you know Ernestine Anderson?
No, I don't.
Yeah, listen to her sing Never Mention.
From out of Atlanta?
Yeah, that's good. No. I don't think she's from Atlanta. I'm not sure where she's from. She might be from Chicago. But anyway, but it's just that kind of a CD. And I said, everything, I mean, you describe it as just a solid rock and roll record. But, I mean, you deliver everything on here. You've got rock and roll. You've got a ballad. You got some Americana. You got some rhythm and blues and soul. And there's one where I feel like you're even taking us to church on it.
Which one
is
that, Lighthouse?
It is a – yeah.
Yeah, Lighthouse, yeah. Well, I had Bobby Bobby played on Clean Getaway. That's right. Bobby Whitlock from Derek and the Dominos. He played on Clean Getaway, the blues tune. The deal with this record is, you know, it's a backtrack kind of. This is a rock and roll record for sure. But it's I did a record about recovery, you know, about addiction, the journey between addiction and recovery, you know, and beyond. And the reason I did it is, well, first of all, I've been, you know, on the other side of those tracks for 30 plus years now. I've been clean and sober, so that's a plus. That's why I look so good at 61. That's why I look so good at 61.
All right.
But, but
did
you know,
say,
I, the
did
last,
you say 41?
No, I said 61.
Okay. I got you.
As long as we got all, I got all my hair, and it's white, but I got all my hair, so that's a good thing. And still standing up like it was when I was 20.
It looks good.
So for the last 5 years or so, I've been taking this batch of songs that, you know, that's on the record, And I've been going into treatment facilities around the country with my acoustic guitar, and I've been playing for the ladies and gents in there. And I got such a great response from them. You know, the songs, they were very carefully written. They were written by an addict, for addicts and alcoholics, you know, so I know what I'm talking about. And I'm just trying to spread the message of recovery and try to show people that there's a whole wonderful life once you put down the stuff, once you put this down, you know, and move on. And so I've been doing these things for like 5 years, and every time I finished one of these groups, they would all like kind of line up. I would sign stuff, and they would say, "Where do we get this music? I got to take this music home. Where do I get this?" So I kind of procrastinated for like 2 years. I kept saying, "Yeah, I'll do a record, do a record." Finally, I just said, "I got to do something." So I did one of those online music campaigns, and I raised the money, and I did the record. So I started it last February. February 2017. I finished it in August, I think. Then I had to do the cover and the whole bit. It came out October 20th, and I'm really getting great reviews. I mean, not only from people that are struggling with substance abuse disorder, but people in recovery, and then there's people that are just rock and roll fans that just they groove into just the music of it, and they appreciate what I'm doing. And the deal is, I'm giving it away to the patients to the clients they call them, when I go to these treatment facilities. So I give them away, and I'm selling them so I can afford to give them away. That's the way that's working. And you know, back to your point, because it wasn't really, I mean, it's a Ricky Bird record for sure, but it's like, I'm not trying to get into the Billboard Hot 100 or anything like that. So it's not like I'm trying to say anything particular about myself as a musician. So it gave me the freedom to be able to jump around genres. So like what you said, there's like a blues tune, there's like some soul music, there's a little Americana, you know, and there's straight up rock and roll. There's like a Chuck Berry-ish kind of song on there, and all kinds of good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so that gave me the freedom to be able to jump around, because I'm not trying to, I mean, I'd love to get some airplay and stuff. It'd be, you know, nice to sell tons and tons of them. But I didn't have to stick to sort of like, okay, this is me and this is what I sound like, and I got to stick to what I do. So I'm a little all over the place, but it all stems from, you know, rock and roll and the blues, because that's where I come from.
Hold just a minute. If you're listening live tonight, I am talking to Ricky Bird, and if you want to call in and talk to him about his new CD, Clean Getaway, or
call in
Clean Getaway Foundation, please call in. The number is 646-716-9922, toll-free number in the continental U.S., and I have a call now, and I think this could be from Chicago. Come on in, and welcome to Madame Perry Salon. I think you've been here before.
Yes, I have.
Hey,
how you doing, man?
Is that the
hello book? There? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Should I introduce
this
myself,
is...
or I'm a little awkward at introduction, so I'm not quite sure where to go from here.
Okay, I know this voice. You're the animator, Peter G. from Being Cool. Am I right?
Yep, that's me.
Yay! Okay.
Nice to meet you, Peter.
Nice meeting you too. Good to talk to you.
You too.
Do
you have a question? You have
Peter,
anything
you
want to throw out there?
I had a couple of questions. I just didn't want to step on Miss Perry's toes or anything like that with the interview.
Not at all. Not at all. You know, it's a warm and friendly place here.
Well, I guess my first question is kind of like, I listened to a lot of Alice Cooper, and he had talked about how he's been dry for decades now, and he says he gets calls from rock musicians nowadays who say they want to know how he kicked it. And do you find you have musicians on the scene now that are reaching out to you saying, this is getting out of hand, I got to do something about this, what do I do, how do I get help?
People always, they filter people to me now because they know, I mean, I'm not anonymous, you know, like my recovery is well talked about. My logic is I had no problem being very public about my stumbling around back in the day. So the fact that, you know, I've been clean over 30 years now, I think it's a I like talking about it, you know. And I'll tell you why. Like, I have people come over to me and they'll say, man, I grew up on your music and it's, you know, I got a brother that's struggling. It's so great to, or somebody in my family, and it's so great to hear that you've turned the corner and, you know, you could still go out there and have fun and be a rock and roll guy and you don't have to drink and drug. So I think, to me, it's a positive thing. Yeah, I like talking about it. It's part, I mean, it's a major part of my life, you know. It's just like drugs and alcohol were a major part of my life. So you know, this is a big thing, and I do a lot of stuff in recovery. Like, part of the responsibility of being in recovery, when you're blessed to cross over to that side and get on the good foot, as James Brown used to say, is to kind of reach back and pull somebody else out that asks for help. You know, there's a huge. Opioid epidemic right now. I mean, it's the worst drug epidemic in American history. So anything I could do, my little part through music, that's why I did this record. I started a nonprofit called Clean Getaway. If you go to cleangetaway.nyc, you can read all about what we're going to try to do. Is if we could raise, like, you know, big funds, then we're going to, you know, we want to take stuff around the country, kind of like, you know, the centerpiece will be music, whether it's just me and a couple other acoustic things, or a full all-star band. And we want to have events where we have they'll be like about education, awareness, prevention is huge. Trying to stop people before they even start is really the best way to stop this. At least, you know, cut the head off the snake, as they say, is you get people to stop, to not start. Prevention, education, awareness. And then, you know, like I said, just to show people that you could have a great time and do it clean and sober. So that's what I do now, you know. That's my thing.
And
you know, there's a funny Alice Cooper story. Did he talk about this? Because I got to play with Alice a couple of times.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, we did. You know, I do a lot of benefits and charity stuff. Like, I'm always, like, part of, like, a band, like an all-star band, you know. So I'm not really in a band. Like, I don't go out and tour. I don't have that kind of thing. I'm not always out there, but I'm always part of these things around the country where it's like for different charities. So it'll be like me and maybe Liberty DeVito from Billy Joel's band, and maybe like Willie on bass, or, I mean, it's all over the place, you know? And then we back up a couple of people like Alice. And I mean, we did one thing. It was on one bill. It was a treatment facility. It was a benefit for a treatment facility in Boston called Right Turn. So it was a really cool all-star band. And it was Ace Frehley and Alice. So we got to do all those songs. So Alice tells me a story. He goes, let's just say it was like, I don't know, a while ago when this happened. But he said he's in a room with Keith Richards. And Keith comes over and he says, Alice. Alice says, yes, Keith. He says, I heard you've been, like, clean and sober for, like, you know, 26 years or whatever it was back then. And Alice says, yes, that's true, Keith. And Keith goes, can I ask you one question? Alice says, sure, ask me anything. He goes, why? You know,
well,
so.
Well, I mean, I kind of understand Richard's logic. I mean, I don't remember who it was, but there was a comedian who was, he had dried out. And he said that every day was a struggle because he said, you know, that when you wake up in the morning, this is the best you're going to feel because you can't touch the drugs. So
now,
I can
see that's an old Dean Martin. That's Dean Martin used to say that in his act.
Oh, okay.
He used to say, I feel sorry for people that don't drink because when they get up in the morning, that's as good as they're going to feel all day.
So
whoever told you that stole it from Dean Martin.
Yeah, well, I admit there's a lot of theft when it comes to comedy, I admit. But, well, I mean, it's because I'm a cartoonist, so I'm kind of on the outside looking in when it comes to rock and roll. And
that's funny because I'm a cartoon character.
Oh, really? How do you do? Yeah. Who does your voice?
I'm pretty animated.
Aren't we all in our way?
Yeah, exactly.
but things like there was a movie called The Decline and Fall of Western Civilization that was showing rock bands.
Yeah.
It showed Ozzy and Alice and others, and it showed some up and coming bands. And just the dichotomy was interesting because the ones who had been around, like Alice and Ozzy and that, you know, they were just, you know, regular people. It's like, yeah, it's just a job and stuff like that. While the younger bands were trying to get wrapped up in the life, and you could tell it was not going to end well. It was a very hard documentary for me to watch.
You know, and I did see that. Yeah, you know, the thing is, I bought into a thing when I was a kid. You know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. You know, it was like a thing. You know. It's an illusion, really, for most of the people, especially the people that have this, you know, a substance abuse disorder. It's an illusion because eventually it may work for a while and it may be all fun and games until somebody gets hurt, you know, but it doesn't end well. I mean, David Cassidy just died like 4 days ago or 5 days ago. I mean, his liver stopped functioning. His problems with alcohol are well talked about. I mean, it doesn't end well for anybody that has a substance abuse disorder, whatever it is, because you can't get enough. That's the problem. See, one is too many and 1,000 is never enough, as the saying goes.
Mm-hmm.
So being a kid growing up wanting to be a musician, I mean, all my heroes when I was a kid, whether it was in comedy, so Richard Pryor, John Belushi, Lenny Bruce, you know, where'd they find Lenny Bruce, man? In a bathroom with a spike in his arm, right? Movie stars, you know, Errol Flynn. Errol Flynn was copping heroin on freaking Sunset Boulevard when he was in his 50s. Copping morphine probably back then. People like, my authors, right? William Burroughs, Robert Benchley, Dorothy Parker. You know, Dorothy Parker died in one of the smartest, funniest, most sarcastic writers we ever had in America, and she died from pills and booze. So, and the musicians, like I looked up to these. When you looked in rock magazines when you're a kid, everybody looked like they were having such a great time. But we all wind up in that hotel room at 4 o'clock in the morning trying to navigate from what we just took, you know. Doesn't matter who you are. So my thing is like, listen, if you're a social, like I have a 16-year-old, you know, and these days I try to instill in her the fact that this is not the time to be trying anything anymore. It's not 1973. They're lacing pot with this stuff called K2. People are taking one hit and they're freaking winding up in the emergency room. They're putting fentanyl in everything. Opioid pain relievers, Oxy, is killing like 175 people a day from overprescribing for injuries or what have you. Medicine cabinet leaving pills. Your parents leaving medicine pills in the medicine cabinet. So it's a whole different time than when I was a kid. You know, when I was 13 and I smoked a joint with my friends for the first time, everything was all innocent. But these days, it's way over the edge right now. And I suggest anybody that's never started to try to find a way to enjoy life without doing anything. But with that said, if you're the kind of person that can go out to a bar after a hard day's work and have a Heineken or two or, you know, a shot of whatever you're drinking, and then you go home and you're responsible and you feed your kid and you know, help them with their homework and go to sleep, like, God bless you, baby. That wasn't me. You know, there are two different people. There are people that could now and then have a drink, and then there are people that are alcoholics.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's problem drinkers are in between. That's a third category. So there you go. It's like not everybody has this disease, as they call it. And but there's a lot of people in the music business, but there's a lot of people in the garment industry. And if you read Anthony Bourdain's book about chefs, it's rampant in the food world. It's everywhere, man. It's in every school. Nobody wants to feel. Everybody wants to be numb, comfortably numb, right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't Pink Floyd say that?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So my little part is I do my best talking through music. So I did this recovery record, I could tell. Well, I knew before I did it because I do these treatment facility music groups. I know how it's helping because I always tell them at the end, it's like, dude, I'm easy to find. You tell me how you're doing. Find me on Facebook. I get all these messages on there. Yeah, I got 6 months clean. And, you know, I remember this song you did and I remember that song. That's why I had to do this record. So, like I said, I give it away. I bring a batch of them every time. I just was at a place yesterday. I gave away another, I think, 65 or something like that CDs. I did a sober house I went to. And the way I can afford to give them away is I'm selling them to the general public so I could take a percentage of that and put it, A, into my nonprofit Clean Getaway so we can maybe do these outreach programs we want to do. And also I could buy another batch of CDs to give away. And if you never know, man. If it helps somebody, you never know what you say or do that's going to keep somebody from dying.
And you've got a special package right now, too. And also, I'm going to give one away to a listener. Your people know that I'm getting this to give away, Ricky. Your people.
Good.
That sounds so cool. And
do I have people? I didn't know I had people.
You got people, baby. You got people.
Damn.
You got people. You don't even know. You know what? Your people got people. That's how big you are. And so
oh,
you
crap.
Got a special deal with this Clean Getaway.
Sounds
CD.
Like a lot of responsibility.
I know it. I know it. But, hey, as long as you look good, you can handle it. And you look good
that's
and
great.
You sound good. And that's another thing. My God, this CD, is you got all stars on it. You are in excellent form. Your voice, everything about your voice, your tonation, your sound, your pitch, your attack, everything in there is perfect.
Yeah, I appreciate
and
that.
So, and plus, oh my gosh, and so do I on the listening end too. I mean, it's just perfection. So, but you've got the CD. Oh, and here's one more thing I got to say. And I don't know. I guess this is just a testament to your talent as a writer. Is that when I sat down thinking about it's going to be a CD about geared toward recovery, and every song, you know, is in the theme. Okay. But no two songs are alike. Everything's got a different style, a different angle. You've got a different voice. And sometimes it's like you're speaking to a little bit of a different audience, like the one, you know, talking to a kid. And everything is a little different. Because
the deal with that is the subject matter for the record came from the music groups that I lead. We would have these conversations. I'd have conversations with the clients there. And they would, one would talk about, you know, he'd be like, man, this is like the fifth time I've seen you in this treatment facility. I keep relapsing. So I went home and I wrote a song about relapse, and that's Addict's Prayer that's on there. I was in a car heading to, you know, like a support group thingy, and somebody on the phone said to me, man, 30 years clean. You still go to those places? I'm like, yeah. And they said, why is that? I said, because I prefer waking up to coming to. And the person laughed, and I went, and my brain went, "Oh yeah, that's a title." So I wrote it down, and that's on the record. And so there's the answer to that question. It's like the subject matter came from conversations I had with these people, and then what I tried to do is, and you mentioned the song about talking to your kid, which is called Kid, and I wrote that with Mark Hudson, who also, you know, did a lot of stuff with Aerosmith. He was in the Hudson Brothers when back in the 70s, but. I said to Mark, I said, okay, so here's the deal. We got this record, right? So it's got a message to it, but I want to try to get some songs on the radio. So I'm going to do a cover song, which I did. I did Paul Revere and the Raiders' version of Kicks, and which is like one of the first anti-drug songs in 1966. And then I said, I want a couple of songs that talk about what we're talking about but don't bang you over the head with it. So I said, let's write a song about like me talking to my kid. So there's a line in there, I ain't preaching, I'm just reaching out to you. You know, I'm very careful. I know from being a teenager that nobody likes to be told what to do, right? So I'm trying to slide the message in before they know what happened. So that's why so that's why you don't hear, there's no like, just say no to drugs. You know, there's none of that crap on here. It's just explaining. It explains what happens. It explains the consequences. It explains what happens when you get clean and the life you lead. And there's a song on there called Broken is a Place, and the line is, broken is a place I've already been, so I ain't going back, baby, you know. And that's I know from being one of these people, you know, that has experience with addiction and recovery, that you have to kind of soft pedal the message, so
yeah.
they will be willing to listen and you know, keep an open mind. And basically what these songs are is I'm trying to hold up a mirror to the people out there that are struggling a little bit to say, look, this is us. See, in these words, this is, doesn't this sound like you? You know, like I always start off my groups with Better Days, which is the second song on the record, and I always finish, I go, anybody hear themselves in that song? And they go, dude, you told my story. I mean, that's what I wrote these songs. Like, I, you know, I bled onto the page. I was trying to make it identifiable by everybody. And it seems like I did it a little, you know, it seems good from all the reaction I'm getting. And there's some really great reviews on Amazon that people are writing about it. And people that don't even have substance abuse problems. I mean, it's just a really cool rock and roll record. A lot of good guitar on there.
Yeah.
I indulged myself a little bit. You know, I got Paul McCartney's drummer from Wings, Steve Holly. I got Bobby Whitlock from Derek and the Dominos played on one of the blues tune. I got like
Christine Ullman.
You know, Christine Ullman. I got the Asbury Juke horns. You know, I got it's some good stuff going on in that record there.
You also got somebody else calling in to talk to you. And if you're listening live, the number is 646-716-9922. Because I'm so happy to have Ricky Bird here in Madame Perry's Salon. So come on in. I think this is one of our regular listeners on the West Coast. Come on in to Madame Perry's Salon.
Oh, thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be here.
I'm glad to have you here. Is this sounds like Andrea from the West Coast?
Yes, it is. Oh, absolutely.
Yay.
Your favorite friend from California.
That's right. You are. Say hello to Ricky Bird.
Hi, Ricky. How are you doing? You sound
Hi,
inspiring.
Andrea from the West Coast.
Yeah.
How's California doing tonight? Today?
Oh, it's just groovy. I love it here.
Yeah. What's your temperature right now?
Oh, it's actually pretty cool for California. It's in the 70s.
Oh, that's pretty. That sounds kind of nice.
Yeah,
we're getting a little
chilling out here.
Winter's sneaking up on us, man. It's starting to get.
Yeah, winter in California. You know, it's like, man, you might have to put on a sweater and wear shoes.
Yeah, I'm way into my leather jacket already.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, winter
leather jacket.
I was gonna say winter in Florida falls on a Wednesday this year.
Weather, exactly. Yeah, we just tuned in to see if there will be weather. It was just beautiful today, gorgeous blue sky, the sun, the clouds, nice. But anyway, I was calling in just because I wanted to, well, I had so many questions, and the questions changed like three times as I was listening, because I was calling in to ask Ricky, like, well, if you have kind of a boring life where, you know, how can you imagine yourself into like a rock star type life? And then listening to all the stories about overdose and death and everything, I thought, my God, I've got to call my therapist and move up my appointment. But then I started listening to the inspiring story of the album and how, you know, you can reach out and, you know, tell your story and literally help people get a handle on a situation like that. And then I remembered how I used to use quite a bit of drugs, like in the late 60s, early 70s, which, mm-hmm. you know, now I'm boring. I don't do anything like that. So which one do you want to answer first?
Give me one. Actually, put one in the form of a question, as they say on Jeopardy.
Okay. So how do you, you know, take – you know, kind of a boring life and put some energy into it. It sounds like you're full of, you know, your energy is just nonstop and your creativity. I mean, you hear a phrase and you just get it down and go for it.
Yeah.
Write a
song,
that's the beauty. Put it out there, you know.
That's what's cool
about
being.
Where does that come from?
Well, everybody, you know, I truly believe that everybody in this world does something wonderful. Not everybody get to that because of distractions of life. So whether it's being able to cook a delicious 3-course, 4-course meal or getting under the hood of a car and taking the engine apart and putting it back together, we're all given something. you just the trick with life is to keep your eyes and ears open to figure out what you're good at and follow it. You know, don't be afraid to follow it. What is it? What was it? A great saying. Of course, now I can't remember the great saying. See, you just made this whole thing about all these things that I can remember. about
it's
not
okay.
taking chances. I would rather take chances and fail than to just not take chances at all. Of course, the actual quote is a lot better than that, but you get the point. So I've been this guy. Like when I was a kid, I started playing guitar when I was 9. You know. And I could just pick up the guitar, and if I heard a song like a Beatles song on the radio, I could kind of figure it out a little bit. I'm not saying it was good, but I could figure it out. So that was I figured out right at the top that that was something that I might be put here for somehow. I mean, I didn't think like that when I was 9 years old, but I just kind of followed it. So being a songwriter for all these years, I have that habit. That when I hear somebody say something, like in a crowded room or wherever I am, and they say something and it's a great line, I kind of write it down on my phone, my notepad, and I because people say stuff they don't even realize they're saying it. And I think I don't have the drive to be well. I mean, I did well, you know. I mean, I'm in the Rock Hall, so that's pretty cool for a kid from the Bronx. But
yeah,
that thing to like. This record, like, I didn't think, oh man, I got to get like this. It's got to be a top 10 record. I think like, I don't even think like that anymore. There's no carrot in front of me. I do this because I'm a musician, you know, and if you're a musician, you play. And, you know, if you play, if you're truly a musician, whether you've played in front of 100,000 people, your career is always changing. Those days are long gone. You know, those I Love Rock and Roll days. I get the same kick playing in a blues band in front of 30 people in a sweaty joint in Manhattan, you know, than I did back in the old days. It's the same to me. Playing is playing, you know. So when I go to, for example, I'm playing a place in New Jersey on Saturday. It's a record store, right? And it's really cool. It's like this one of the last mom and pop record stores. And in the back of the store, they have a stage, and maybe 60 people or something. And I sit there with my acoustic guitar, and I love it, man. You know. So this is what I'm driven to do, and each thing leads to the next thing. You know what I'm saying? Like you say, how do I keep doing it? It's like I got this idea. I started playing these songs at treatment facilities, and then I said, I got to record it. Now I recorded it. You know, I recorded the record. It came out October 20th. I wrote two new songs already. I'm like in my brain, I'm preparing the next volume 2 of this record. That's
cool.
What you do. It's like a chef, you know. It's like, yeah, I cook this like this. Maybe the next time I'll add a little bit of this and I'll put some of that in there. It's just you know, some people are creative in that kind of way. Some people are creative in another kind of way. Some people are amazing with other people. They become social workers and they help the society like that. I mean, we're all here. I believe we're all put here to do something. But we get so distracted with life, right?
Amen.
Sometimes
that's
we never find our mojo, which is a shame. But the good thing is you're never too old to find your mojo.
Yeah, because sometimes I think I found it, but then I don't know what happened to it I think your word is great, just distraction. You know, it
life
seems
is
like
filled
other
with
stuff
distraction.
Comes up. Yeah.
That's it. Every day there's always something, you know, whether it's having to pay the mortgage and having to do this or something, but you got to find time. You know, especially people when they get married young and they have, you know, a bunch of kids and they had all these ideas of what they wanted to do as a career and they never get to do it. You know, if you get the satisfaction out of the big family, then you're set. You know, but if you always have that aching inside you, you got to find a way to do that too.
Hmm. Cool.
This is
I think
quick,
that's amazing
life
advice.
Is,
yeah.
Life is a quick movie, baby. You got to pay attention.
Thanks.
Yeah, and I think that your soul, something you lose something in your soul if you don't do what it is that your heart wants to do, or some kind of whatever skill you have. Like I said, whether it's, like you said, taking something apart, putting it back together, creating something different, whatever it is you do. Andrea, you do great work with dogs, I know, and you also have been training with things like for nonviolent protests and preparing people for that. And, you know, I think it's whatever is in your heart to do. You know, like Peter is a cartoonist, an animator. But now I also wanted to say, too, just like with Ricky, I wanted to read something. I'm not going to read who it came from, but I'm going to read something that was on the Clean Getaway. And just so you know, the once again, the website is cleangetawaynyc.com, and it's going to be on all of my social media. And where Ricky goes, see, the more – we're going, he's got this great special going on, too.
Cleangetaway.nyc is what it is.
Yeah. Oh, .nyc. Cleangetaway.nyc.
Yeah, and that's my nonprofit. But if you want to buy the record, you could get it at Amazon. You can get it at iTunes. You can get it at cdbaby.com. I need people to buy the record because it'll help me give – I mean, like, I want to give out thousands of these goddamn things, you know. I want to go to treatment facilities all around the country, play the songs, and say, here, baby, take this home, man. I hope this helps you out. But I need to be able to afford to do that, so –
there's a special right
What's
now,
that?
$25. You get the CD and the pic and the photograph.
Yes,
a sticker.
And a sticker. If you want to get it signed, you got to get it straight through me. So you got to, because obviously the other stuff comes from stores, right? So you go to you use PayPal, and you get and you use my account, which is Chaos Pro, KAYOSPRO at AOL.com. All right, that's my account on PayPal. So $25 and I'll sign it, and I'll throw in all the stuff. And you know what I figured, because it's the Christmas holiday now, in the Christmas spirit, I'm going to throw in a copy of my last record that I have some left over. So I put out a record in 2003, another really cool rock and roll. That was a straight ahead rock and roll record. So that's the deal from now until Christmas.
And when you do that, you also give Ricky make it possible for him to give away more of these CDs to the ladies and gentlemen at the treatment centers. And one thing on the cleangetaway.nyc website, a person wrote in a testimony, hey, Ricky, man, I just wanted to thank you. I saw you at a place in Toms River, and your message really made me think. I want you to know, as I tear up typing this, you really helped me out. I'm fighting the fight, and you are sincerely an inspiration. Thank you for your service. And that's just one of the testimonials on this site, on cleangetaway.nyc, from people. So anything, or you could just go on that site and just make a donation. And if you just feel led in your heart to do that, just go ahead. Because, you know, and listen, anybody that knows me, you guys have listened to my show, Peter and Andrea and my best friend Kenya, everybody that listens to me or knows me personally knows one thing. I am not a trusting person, and I don't care what the charity. I am not very trusting of people that ask me for money for charity or anything. There's only, I think, two charities that I've trusted to give money to, and one is my girlfriend, Kenya. She works with the Women of the NAACP, and I know her, so I know it's going where it's supposed to. And also this one, Clean Getaway. I know this is going. The money to go, and this is
well.
I
tell you, I'm very transparent about this. Like the nonprofit, if you go on there and read the mission statement and what we're trying to do, I mean, is we want to be able to take this around the country. Like I said, I want to get a tour bus that says "Have Recovery, Will Travel." You know, go to high schools and junior high schools and treatment facilities and all kinds of joints and just do stuff about and have information there. We'll bring along a professional in the world of recovery to talk about what's going on, and it'll be educational, awareness, prevention, and then we'll play. You know, we'll play these songs from the record, and there'll be tables set up where people that can go and because everybody's very confused right now, where you know you can go for maybe a pamphlet or something like that, treatment stuff, and so that's the nonprofit, and the record. Look, I'm taking a percentage of the record, and I'm going to and put it into the nonprofit, and I'm going to also use the money to make up new ones so I can give them away, and then, you know, and then I'm going to live on the rest of it, you know, because I got to pay bills, too.
Well, you should. But still,
so it's all very straight ahead, transparent, you know. We have to go to some, we got to find some like CEOs with deep pockets that say, yeah, man, I'm clean a long time. I want to help this. How much do you need, baby? It's like, yeah, just keep adding zeros to that. And throw it in there. We'll
do
a whole, we'll do a whole tour.
I think we can work.
We'll do a whole tour, you know. And the cool thing is I know people all over the country, like these my famous musician friends that, hey, man, I'm coming to Austin. We're doing a thing at the so-and-so. You want to come out and play? Mm. Yeah, sure, you know. So that's it. I'm just trying to do my part, you know. I mean, I'll tell you, you know, let's end with this. Like, I did a benefit. There's an organization called Fed Up, and so it was in D.C., and it's all about it's all families that have lost people to this disease, right? So, you know, put together an all-star band. We played outdoors in front of the Washington Monument. I got there like a day early, and I came down to the lobby with my guitar, slung over my shoulder to go to sound check, and there were like hundreds of family members milling about the lobby, wearing purple T-shirts. Fed up T-shirts with pictures of their relatives that didn't make it because of drugs or alcohol, and it just crushed me to the freaking core. And I started having conversations with them. I said, "Yeah, my son, he had a football injury. Doctor gave him oxycodone. He gave him like too much. You know, he took too much. He got addicted to it, and he went on to heroin, and he died. You know, 20 years old.
Oh,
you know,
God.
And I was just like, so I was like, you know, this is serious business." You know, we got to take this. This is like twice as many people are dying than gun violence in this country from this. I mean, they're talking about it constantly on TV, so you know it's for real. And it's just getting, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse before it gets better. So my thing, I'm just a freaking musician. I just happen to be in recovery. So I'm just trying to do my part. And, you know, I write some good songs, you know, I can play some rock and roll guitar. And hopefully I could slip the message in there too without you knowing what happened.
Well, actually,
sneak it in there.
Say that because when I was talking about, you know, there's a theme to the record, and I think I was telling somebody today. I said, you know, it's like it's so different from what you expect. I mean, you expect a solid rock record, but it's so different because it's not a preachy record. He does slip the message in while you're grooving, but you can't miss it. You know, it's like one of my favorite blues singers that comes to town, and when I got the CD and I was listening to it on the way home, and it's like you get three songs on a row that start off, my man done left me, my man done hit me, my man done stole. You want to go, girl, get some self-respect. You know, all of these songs are exactly alike. Every one of them, two in a row started with that line. My man done left me. Then the next, my man, girl, you guys can find a better man than that, you know. But whereas this is nothing like that. This is like every message comes in a groove. So it's
and
like,
some there's humorous stuff on there too.
Wicked,
there's,
aren't you?
There's a couple of humorous tunes on there too because people with long-term recovery can look back and say, oh my God, did I actually do that? So, you know, I had to write some stuff like that too because I didn't want to make it a completely serious, you know, a serious album. And I listen to it now and I go, yeah, we did a good job, man. We got the message on there. Hey, if you know what, a friend of mine did, you know what a lyric video is, right? It's like the new thing where you have some like stills in the background, you have the song and then the lyrics, which is great for this because I want people to see the lyrics. Somebody did a wonderful one for the last song on the record called Broken is a Place. If you go to YouTube and put it in there, Broken is a Place or something like that, or my name, it's on Facebook. It's on my Facebook page. It's just really stunning. Really good job. Just did it because. Loves the song.
Awesome.
Hey. By the way, speaking of people doing cool things, I said on Twitter I would give a shout out to a very good friend of yours who every time I put something up about you being on here or about a clean getaway, this man, I don't know what he does, but within 5 minutes of me posting anything about this, he's the first person to retweet it immediately, and that is your friend, the musician, actor, Michael DeBars. So thank you, Michael DeBars. I told you we love you, and I give you a shout out. So
that's my brother from across the country.
Yes,
I love Michael DeBall.
He's
besides being a great musician and a great actor and a pretty handsome stud, he's got a really big heart and he's a really good soul.
Yeah, he certainly seems, I don't know him, but that's a feeling I certainly get from him. So before, because I want to close out with a song, I prefer Waking Up to Coming To, which is great line right there. Tell everyone again how to get CD Clean Getaway and what they can do to support this.
Well, you could go to Amazon. You could go to iTunes.
Yeah.
You could go to CDBaby.com if you just want to get the record. But if you want it signed with a bunch of other bird swag in there, including my last record, which I'm feeling generous, I'm going to throw that in there too. It's you go to PayPal and you use my account, which is chaospro@aol.com. You could spell it out for them later. And it's $25, and I'll send you the new CD, the last CD, my brand new. I got some new Clean Getaway guitar picks, really cool black ones with the skull on the front. So I'll send one of those. Stickers. What else do I got? I don't know. I had buttons. I went through the buttons. I'll throw. Oh, and a signed 8x10 was of me smiling. Which is different. Instead of making the rock and roll grimace.
I got a feeling that means more to me and you, Audrey, than it does to Peter.
I know Peter's not really saying much about that.
I'm just trying to be polite.
But we can dig.
I know.
I'm just sitting over here.
That's the
deal. That's the deal. That's where you get everything. And go on to cleangetaway.nyc. You could take a look at our nonprofit. Anybody out there listening that's a mega millionaire that knows about recovery, in recovery, has somebody that needs recovery and wants to really get behind a really cool organization, read our mission statement and come on there and donate, and we're going to do some cool stuff.
I think everyone today is touched by that in some way. I think everyone today, with the prevalence of opioids, the dangers of the abuse, and with people being prescribed painkillers that keep going on, whether it's that or anything else, heroin, everybody's life is touched by it in some way. Whether it's
it's hard to find somebody,
a family
and
member,
you know,
someone you love.
If you're not a mega millionaire but you want to donate to Clean Getaway, please do, because to tour and everything, that's where we need like lots of money. But let's say this, like you donate $100 here, $50 there. We make up these T-shirts that say Clean Getaway. It's got the logo on it. It says Escape Through the Music. And then I'll give them away at treatment facilities too with the record. So like, people, they wear them, get a little bit of like that connection with, how everybody loves T-shirts, right? Like your favorite band, right? So, get some of these people out at that are struggling. Hey, man, wear this T-shirt, man. It's got superpowers,
like
your suit of armor.
And it's got superpowers, and it makes you look thinner. Just throwing that in from a woman's point of view.
I'm not responsible for that. I'm sorry.
Okay. Hey, and also if you
I'm not aligned with Jenny Craig,
remember.
Baby.
I get myself in so much trouble. I should just shut up and let all you guys talk. So, I'll have all the information on this. Also, I'm going to be giving away one, so you can message me if you want that. But let me tell you something. If you get this, you're going to want to get a set or a CD for yourself. And remember,
Christmas.
It's
holidays.
Christmas. It's Hanukkah.
Christmas gifts.
It's holidays. It's not too early to get one for Valentine's, for New Year's Eve, because you're going to want to get something. This is a gift that somebody's going to say, hey, nobody got me this, and this is what I wanted. So, this will be the best gift of all. And not only that, you're giving to your friend or your family, and you're giving to these people that Ricky goes out and see. And what else I love, Ricky? I love the way when you go to a facility like this, you always say it's for the ladies and gents. You don't say the people. You say the ladies and gents here. You show them the respect that everybody wants to have.
Hey, man, we're just sick people trying to get better. A lot of great people I meet at these places. And the toughest people I meet, they come over to me after I play Lighthouse and they go, dude, you made me cry. I'm like, that's a good thing. You're feeling. Before I got clean 30 years ago, I spent 18 years chasing that feeling and not feeling, So if you cry, that's a good thing.
Beautiful.
And with that, I'm going to say goodnight.
I'm going to hang up and crank up the music.
Back in the day, I lived a rough
And I remember what I said.
Waking up.